Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Greg Gosell in about 3 minutes, live in Los Angeles, hour two. Thanks for joining us. A lot of choices out there. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, this is Fox Sports Radio, and right here it's FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me, Greg Gosell, in a couple of minutes. First hour flew by, September, October, November. Next 8, 9, 10 weeks, we have to literally drop to, I have literally 6 things I haven't gotten to yet. And I often do my best stuff in the first hour and a half. I got 6 things. I don't think I'll get to half of it.
It's a different world now, Colin. We got games.
We got games.
We did 5 months with none of them.
Yeah. So Bruce Arians criticized Tom Brady. I like to plan stuff. I'm not a go with your gut guy. I don't like politicians who just make it up as they go. I like politicians who read and are curious. I like coaches who plan stuff. I just don't even on this show, people have said, oh, Colin, you got so many notes. I just don't think winging it is good television. Bill Maher is one of my favorite shows. He doesn't wing it. Rachel Maddow doesn't wing it. Carson Tucker, they don't wing it. They like have planned and they sit all day and they write and they write and they write. Whether I agree with them or not, I'm not a wing it person. That's just not my thing. Bruce Arians, a little bit of a wing it guy sometimes. Bill Belichick plans for everything. Everything. And we're now seeing the difference between Belichick and Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is asked after a game about Brady and just kind of wings it. You know, Belichick knows the question's coming. On to Cincinnati. And Arians rips Brady pretty harshly. The GOAT questions his determination. Question the pick six. Don't question Tom's determination. Brett Favre didn't like it at all.
I think the last person you want to call out after the first game of the year is Tom Brady. Now, maybe they had a mutual truce going into the game, going into the season. Hey, you know, I'm going to be hard on you. I want the guys to know that we're going to treat you the same, even though technically I'm not. So are you okay with it? If they have that truce, great. If not, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. Dissension could easily enter quickly.
Oh, we saw Pittsburgh. Comment here by Le'Veon, comment here by Ben, unraveled a really talented team. We've seen it with the Cowboys. Comment here, comment there, unravels a really good team. Noise is bad news in the NFL. You can have a lot of stories and talk in the NBA. It's still a talent league. We're so close with all these teams right now. I mean, Seattle's considered a Super Bowl favorite. They're at home this week. They're a field goal favorite over the rebuilding. They've had Cam for 45 minutes, Patriots. Every little thing. So now Tom's going to have to answer questions about this if he goes on a two-game losing streak. Mike Evans has to answer questions about this. This is now a story. This is how you get cracks in the armor. I don't think it's the end of the world, and Bruce Arians did address this, which is now how many days, Joy? It's 4 days after this little harmless comment, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think. And, you know, we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine. So there ain't nothing to talk about. And we're on to Carolina now.
Now, that was a ode to Bill Belichick. It's not just what you and Tom think. It's now Mike Evans will get asked a question if Tom throws another pick six, which, you know, you can say this about Jameis Winston. It just kind of like, okay, whatever. But there is a certain way to handle a LeBron, a Brady, a Breeze. You know, Andy Reid's going to find this out with Mahomes. If Mahomes gets another Super Bowl, now he's got 2 Super Bowls. Now he's got $400 million. It got to be a little more delicate. It's just the reality. Dan Marino, as he aged, gets a little prickly. They can, you know, Aaron Rodgers now, he's been hurt a few times. He can kind of see, you can see the end coming a little bit. Tom's got a couple years left. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think it, now you have this thing out there. It's a little comment. We're talking about it 4 days later. Everybody's got an opinion on it. You want to stay out of that space. I'm so excited for Greg Gosell today because I have the questions, the video he has to show us. And I'm so excited tonight. Browns, Bengals, let's go to Greg Gosell. 41 years, NFL Films. So talking about Brady, I mean, obviously the pick six looked like a bad throw. But I think I watched him and I thought to myself, it's not as bad as everybody's making it out to be. I mean, what did the film say on Brady's debut, Greg?
You know, Colin, it's such much ado about nothing. I watched that tape, and the Saints defense was just the far better unit in that game with what they did. They did some really interesting things. It was all predicated on one thing, in my view, the fact that Marshon Lattimore just took Evans right out of the game, because that allowed them to do a whole bunch of other things. They doubled Gronk a number of times. They doubled Godwin a number of times, all because they could match up Lattimore one-on-one on Evans, and Evans was not a factor in the game. Now, did Brady make a couple of poor decision-making throws? He did. By the way, the interception that was turned for a touchdown was not a poor decision. It was just a really poor throw. He threw it way too far to the inside. Jenkins was a retreating, you know, he was not retreating, but he didn't jump the route. If the ball was thrown where it should have been, it would not have been an interception, and in fact, likely would have been a completion.
You know, I said Minnesota has lost five starters from last year's defense. And whether it's injuries, free agency, or getting expensive, I just don't think it looks quite the same as it did about 2 years ago. So when you looked at the tape of Aaron Rodgers, was he great? Or maybe is Minnesota kind of out of that Super Bowl window defensively and just don't bring the same speed and athleticism they did last year and the year before?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers was great in this game. He played as well as I think he's played in a while in terms of playing within structure, and he still has the ability then to make that outside of structure play like the touchdown to Adams. But Minnesota has gone through major changes at corner, and that's where the issue potentially comes in. They're playing different people. They're playing the rookie Dantzler. They're playing Hill, who's I think he's a second-year player. They're bigger corners. But the thing that really stood out with their defense, Colin, is they played a lot more man-to-man coverage than we're used to seeing. They are normally a higher percentage zone coverage defense. That's what they've been under Mike Zimmer. They played a lot of man coverage, almost 50%. And maybe they feel that's the best way that their new corners can play. And there were, by the way, a couple of throws Rodgers made where the coverage was good, but Rodgers just was so precise with his ball placement, you couldn't have handed it to his receivers any better.
Okay, the New York Jets. Is it Gase? Is it Darnold? Is it personnel? Is it four new offensive linemen? Who's to blame for, I thought, the ugliest performance all weekend?
Well, I want to ask you one question. By the way, I did a deep dive on Sam Darnold this summer, probably watched 350 dropbacks, and then I watched him this past week. Let me ask you this, because Adam Gase seems to be an easy target, which I don't understand. Whose fault is it when the quarterback misses open receivers?
That's the quarterback's fault.
I would say so. Sam Darnold has a lot of things that he needs to work through. I think he's got ability. I don't think he has great ability. He's got ability. He tends to be a little frenetic in the pocket. He tends to perceive pressure and leave the pocket too early. He's an off-balance thrower, which a lot of people raved about when he came out of USC, that he can throw from all these different platforms. But the problem with that is you're never consistent with your accuracy. His feet and his eyes don't work together very often. So he misses a lot of throws. And he'll always make a few where you go, wow, he can do that. But he needs to become far more consistent with his mechanics and to become far more consistent with his ball placement. The reality is you can do 10 things right as a quarterback, but if you can't put the ball where you want to, you've got nothing.
Another young quarterback, Drew Lock. Now he's got weapons. They got backs. They got some really interesting weapons in Denver. What did you see on Monday night? What did the film say about Denver's Drew Lock?
Well, it's funny because I looked at all of Lock's snaps over this summer from last year, and I was impressed. And then in this game, again, what always stands out to me with Lock, going back to last year, is he plays with poise, he plays with composure, both in and out of the pocket. He's pretty consistently accurate. Now, he's got a few things to work on mechanically as well. He tends to drift a little bit and open up his hips, and that can sometimes cause some problems. But from what I've seen of Drew Lock through last year's, I think, six or seven starts, and week one this year, I think Drew Lock will be a very solid player. There's no question about his arm. He can make every throw. I think he can throw with some pace and touch. I thought Drew Lock was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so did I. Big Ben, nice to have him back. Nothing against Duck Hodges, but it was nice to have Big Ben back. And as Joy and I were talking about, nobody drafts wide receivers like Pittsburgh. It's been 15 years. They've just always got a couple of good young players. What did you make of Big Ben? Did you see rust, or was it the same old Ben?
No. Well, first of all, I have to give a ton of credit to that coaching staff. I thought Big Ben was great, by the way, and I was really pleased to see that. But they played a Giants defense that's from the Bill Belichick school due to their head coach, Judge, and their DC, Patrick Graham, who both have big backgrounds with Belichick. So the Giants played a ton of man-to-man coverage. And that Pittsburgh staff did a great job schematically with man-beater concepts, setting up Ben really nicely. But Ben made some great throws, and I thought he played extremely well.
Oh, that's good for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because we know defensively they have excellent personnel. That can't be denied on the defensive side. They've got playmakers. Now, I'm going to ask you about a quarterback who I watched him a lot in college because I'm from Washington State. And the more I watch him, at some point I can have my doubts. But Gardner Minshew gets the football to where it should be. He maybe doesn't have the perfect size, but, you know, after a while, he's not working with much, Greg. And when a guy's doing something without much support, is he a franchise quarterback?
Well, you know me, Colin. I do the tape. And I watched, you know, being home a lot this summer, he's another guy I watched last year, probably 350 snaps in week one. And this will come across, I'm sure, as a big, bold, controversial statement, but I don't believe the Jaguars need a quarterback. I think Gardner Minshew can play quarterback in this league and be very effective. Now, is Gardner Minshew going to be a top two or three quarterback and be a Hall of Famer? Who can answer those kinds of questions? But he's a solid NFL starting quarterback. That's not the problem for the Jaguars. Gardner Minshew is refined. He's accurate. He's got a good feel in the pocket. He's got deceptive movement ability. There's really nothing not to like about the way Gardner Minshew plays quarterback.
How about that? Yeah, who needs Trevor Lawrence? Forget that guy.
I told you. Hey, I've been doing this a long time like you, Colin. I know how all that comes across, believe me. But I'm just telling you what the tape shows. This guy is a good NFL quarterback.
Wow. How, you know, it's funny about this. He and Baker had the same college numbers the last year. They both ran the same offense, one with Lincoln Riley, one with Mike Leach. So it's very, by the way, one guy played with NFL guys, one guy played with junior college guys who are now, you know, working like the rest of us. So there is something to be said. The guy in college, surrounded by average players, put up very good numbers. Now, Joe Burrow. Now, again, my eyes, I liked it. I thought he was calm.
Right.
I thought he had a very good I thought he had a very good drive at the end after a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
I what did the tape say? I like Burrow.
Yeah, he missed a couple of throws, and I thought there were a few times he rushed himself. But I think overall, what I really like about Burrow, and this was true his last year at LSU, actually it was true the year before at LSU as well, is he's very composed. He's very poised. You know, we have to stop saying, too, that he's a deceptively good athlete. He's a good athlete. You know, and he can make plays with his legs, both to move, to throw, and to run and make plays. So I think he'll continue to get better as he works more with this group of receivers. They had a couple of snaps, I think, where they actually had five wide receivers on the field. So I think that Zach Taylor, I think who's going to be pretty creative now that he has Joe Burrow. I think there's a lot we're going to see as this year progresses.
All right. There's no deep threat on New England's roster. They went really retro.
No.
They went retro, baby. They went 1978
yeah.
NFL. Were you surprised how effective it was, Cam Newton and the Patriots?
Well, I think that Bill Belichick's playing to Cam Newton right now, and the fact that Newton got there late, so they played to his running ability. They were very multiple with their run game, and of course, Newton can do that. The pass game was probably pre-remedial and elementary. My guess is that will get better as the season progresses, but we know Bill Collin. All he's concerned about now is beating Seattle. He's not concerned about what his pass game might look like in 8 or 9 weeks. So he wanted to beat Miami, and this is how they beat Miami. They had some very interesting run game concepts with Newton. And one thing Newton, I think, does better than any quarterback in the league when it comes to the run game, he exaggerates that mesh point. He holds that ball with the running back, and as a defense, your eyes just don't know where to go. Do you go to the running back? Do you stay with Newton? Newton is to me, the best in the league at that part of the quarterback run game.
So your play of the day, your play of the week is with Russell Wilson. So before you go into the play, I thought he was terrific.
He's good, by the way. Russell Wilson's pretty good.
And he's also ascending. I think over the last 10 games, he's played some of his best football. Talk about Russell, and then you can move into your big play of the week.
Well, I had to pick an MVP for somebody this year, and I picked Russell Wilson this year for it to be the league MVP. And I tell you what was interesting about Seattle, and maybe they'll do this all year, we don't know, but they had 28 first downs, not including the kneel down at the end of the game. And on 17 of those, he dropped back to pass. They have not done that the last number of years. So maybe, as the expression now seems to be, they will let Russell cook. We'll see if that was just with Atlanta or whether that's something they'll continue to do. But I actually chose a play that was a really well-designed play with a great understanding of the defense they were playing against the Falcons. So let's go to that play and start it right now. Now, this was the screen touchdown to Chris Carson. It was 19 yards, and it looks very, very simple. Okay, so what you're getting here is Carson, there's only one defender out there, and we're going to show why there was only one defender out there. Because what you're going to get here formationally is trips to the field, three receivers to the field, and DK Metcalf, the boundary X, the single receiver to the boundary. Now, they also align Carson offset to the boundary. Now, what you're going to get defensively is what's essentially cover three with a post safety, a single post safety. But in cover three, what a lot of teams do is they lock the boundary side of the field man to man. And that's what the Falcons did with Metcalf and Carson. They played man to man. So as we let this start up a little bit, what you're going to see now, because they're playing man-to-man to the boundary side, is they're going to take the Mike linebacker. He turns his body to the trip side, the three receiver side, because he has to be responsible for any receiver crossing the field. So now what you get, man-to-man on that side, you get Metcalf removing the corner, and now you get the screen to Carson. There's only one defender to play. It's the defender who's man-to-man on Carson with three offensive linemen out in front. So this now becomes an easy walk-in touchdown. So this was really well-designed with a great understanding of the defense they were playing against.
Yeah, the minute that linebacker turned his hips and looked to the other side, it's all over.
It's all over, but they knew that was going to happen in the way that the Falcons play cover three.
God, this is so much fun. I am so joyful for what I just saw.
I'm just glad you're playing week two, Colin, you know?
I know. Greg Cosell, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Oh, so much good stuff. By the way, some thoughts on the Clippers. It's amazing how one moment can change the direction and the confidence of an entire franchise. And I've seen this in sports before. Some thoughts on what the Clippers may need to do, and it's not comfortable. That's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, Dak and Zeke lead the Cowboys in their home opener against Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Or you may see Jimmy G and the 49ers as they take on the Jets. All the NFL action kicks off at 1 Eastern. Check local listings for the game in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. Make sure you get your Super 6 picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $100,000. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Call and give us your winner and final score for the Falcons-Cowboys.
27-20 Dallas. Dallas bounces back. I just don't think Atlanta's very good.
You are scorned by Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm over them. And I'm not going to Facebook 10 years later and trying to hook up. I'm done with...
We'll see.
I'm done with Atlanta.
I'm the gatekeeper of it. I'm not going to allow you to do it again.
So it is amazing what happens, how one moment can change the trajectory of your life. You're listening to me driving around in wherever in America. You're watching me on television. Our lives are often changed by moments, and sometimes tragic moments, sometimes joyful moments. I've moved around the country 4 or 5 times. I've struggled with every single move. I get a yellow pad out. I write stuff down. I wait to the last second and I make a call, and my life has gone pretty well, right? Like, and I could have made some bad choices. I think I made some good choices. And Kevin Durant led the Warriors 3-1. He was in Oklahoma City. He led them 3-1. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, they blow the series. If they don't, and they win that series, and Klay Thompson doesn't go crazy in one of those games, Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City, and we don't have the Warrior dynasty. We never have it. It doesn't change the league. One loss, one moment, one series changes the league. Think about the Clippers. 3 days ago, Kawhi is so savvy. Kawhi, Paul George, best combo after LeBron AD. The Clippers are about to take over this town. Steve Ballmer is going to own this city. Doc Rivers is the perfect coach. Game 7, they lead. Second half meltdown. It is now. Doc Rivers is a nice guy, but he's the wrong coach. Paul George, you can't trust him. You know, Kawhi's really good, but let's be honest about it. He can't just carry a team. They don't have a point guard. Now, most of it, I believe, is overreaction. But one of the things that's not overreaction, and I want everybody to take a deep breath and think about this. We keep seeing this half dozen guys in the NBA who are great players disappoint us in the postseason. Westbrook over and over and over and over. Harden over and over and over and over. Embiid and Simmons can't get along, can't get along, can't get along. Giannis now 2 years in a row. And Paul George. Okay, it's now not just random. Paul George shrinks. And I like him. And he's a good player. But if you go look at the numbers, game 7 in the fourth quarter, he played scared. No points, no assists, 0 for 6, turnovers, ball hit the side of the backboard. He didn't have another quarter like that in the series. I saw it in Indiana. He shrinks. Like, you can keep convincing yourself of these guys who shrink in big moments. Next year will be different. Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey in Houston. You know, finally Oklahoma City said, we're over it. It's not different. This is what it is. Guys like Jokic in Denver, they play well in big spots. LeBron plays well in big spots. Kawhi generally does. But I think you have to ask yourself if you're the Clippers. If you get a phone call on Paul George, you want to go through this again in 12 months or 9 months? We got a history here. Stop trying to convince yourself the opposite of all the data you have. Like, you can just, the teams that keep convincing themselves of it get burned in the playoffs every year. So I think you get a call on Paul George. It's the right call. I'd make a move. I still think Kawhi is great. I still think the roster is excellent. I love the owner. I think Doc's won a title. I don't think Doc would get in the way. But the Paul George thing, and I like him. It's real. Got to own it. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Tom Brady lost his week one game to the Saints on Sunday.
Did.
But that could be good news for the Bucs this season.
Yeah.
He has only lost in week one 3 other times in his career.
Yeah.
In each of those seasons, he reached the Super Bowl. The Patriots became the champions after starting 0-1 in 2003 and 2014 and lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl in the 2017 season. So according to Fox Bet, the Bucs have the 4th best odds to win the NFC and play in the Super Bowl at plus 750. You have the Bucs in the Super Bowl?
No, NFC, I just don't know. I gotta watch it. I don't love anybody. After week one, I like Seattle.
Yeah, so I picked the Saints.
Yeah,
before the season started.
That's a reasonable pick. I think a lot of people think that.
But, I don't want to overreact to the Bucks either. There were a lot of things that I saw on Sunday that were kind of outside of Brady's control. Like, the
block punt.
I mean, special teams, like.
That's Tampa's history.
I know.
Every year.
That's something that's so outside of Brady's control that if they, we just kind of push special teams into just, yeah. They're just going to be there and do what they're supposed to do.
Like, it's the garnish on a plate when it's not.
No, it is not.
It's the potato to the steak.
They call it 3 phases of the game for a reason.
Yes.
Those kind of mistakes can keep you from a championship.
Block punt.
I mean.
And they had a penalty on a kick. I mean, that's just who Tampa is. It's what the Chargers and Tampa. They just can't get the special teams right.
And that's unacceptable. That's not Super Bowl winning stuff. It just isn't.
Baltimore, John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. Why is Baltimore so great at special teams? their head coach was a special teams coach.
And this
like,
is
it
just
matters.
Something that you did not think about in New England.
No.
Because that was just that's not an option. Those kind of mistakes are not an option. So I don't know. I like Tampa Bay this year. I don't think I'm as high on them as you are. I do think that they'll make the playoffs.
God, I have a good blazing five this week. Can I just throw that in? Oh, my God, I have a good blazing five.
Well, you wanted to have a blazing six because you
I like Cleveland
big on the
tonight.
Browns tonight.
Oh, yeah, I bet Cleveland tonight, and I bet I'm a $50 bet guy.
So just because you're a $50 bet guy and because you've put a substantial
for
bet
me,
for you.
For this is my biggest bet I've made since I took Clemson over Ohio State.
I think the line is 6.5 tonight.
Yep.
So, according to Fox Bet. So if the Browns lose,
I mean,
it is going to be it's going to be scorched earth tomorrow.
I don't bet. I bet big. Goulet as my witness. About every 3 years, I make a big bet. The Clemson bet was massive. And I
think you told me what the Clemson bet was.
It was a lot. I'm not going to get into it.
No. I'm not going to say. But
I'm a Southwest Airlines back of the plane guy. Let's not get crazy on this. But it was a massive bet for me.
I have a funny feeling about tonight. I'm excited to watch, though. So the Packers surprised the league when they moved up to draft Jordan Love this year, and Trent Dilfer thinks that move was made to motivate Aaron Rodgers to step up his game.
I can guarantee you in those front offices, there's some wise people that said, I'm done with him just being good. We need him to be great again. How do we make him great?
You think they drafted Jordan Love on purpose to piss him off and make him better?
Heck yeah. And you get a really talented player that needs 2 to 3 years to develop. Yeah, you do. You absolutely pull. You're a puppet master if you're running an NFL organization. If you're a head coach, you're absolutely a puppet master, and you're pulling the strings to get the most out of the people you have. And sometimes that hurts feelings. And sometimes that's not nice.
I mean, couldn't he have just said something publicly to, you know, poke Aaron Rodgers a little bit? You had to use a whole draft pick and move up to motivate Aaron Rodgers. And does Aaron Rodgers actually need motivation?
No, but he can be off-putting to some people. People wanted to control Aaron. They felt Aaron had too much control. I mean, just you see that in corporate America. They have, I mean, I know. But like the NFL teams like to control the personnel, and Aaron's kind of like, yeah, you know, I can do better than this place.
You're absolutely right. And those situations, it almost always ends up the same way. Right? All people want is a superstar, right? In any business, you want a superstar salesman, you want a superstar host, you want a superstar quarterback. Well, that comes with things like attitudes and ego and demands and
neediness. You and I agree with this. I got into this argument the other day. I said, strategy is crap. Stars are underrated. I was talking about a different business, and I said, the bottom line is, you win in every business with better people. We have Joe Buck and Aikman. They're really good. Our coverage is better than ESPN on football. Sorry, we got the stars. It's nothing against the strategy, but if I get Buck and Aikman, I win.
And you sacrifice a little bit of control.
That's right.
When you bring in stars.
Because Joe Buck's very difficult.
No, Joe Buck is not difficult, but
yes.
Some stars are difficult and some aren't. But if you are a star, you tend to lean to be more difficult because you have higher demands of yourself.
Though this is what Dan Gilbert struggled with LeBron. He felt LeBron had too much control twice. What
control?
Are you without?
I know. Who are you?
I know.
You are not LeBron James.
This is you and I agree on this. Dan Gilbert twice. He brought him back. He begged and he got there and he's like, you know, he's got too much control. Okay, then draft Colin Sexton. How's that working out for you?
Exactly. It makes me insane.
You know what?
You are going to sacrifice control because that is the point.
From now on, I'm going to have more ego. I'm pushing back in America. That's who I'm going to become. I'm too nice.
I mean, when you be, and listen, I'm not advocating for, you know, madness.
No,
all I'm saying is, if you are a star, a superstar of Aaron Rodgers level, so what if he's needy? So what?
That's right.
You want like an agreeable, super nice guy that comes in and throws 2 pick-sixes every game? Enjoy yourself. Have fun. You were 13-3 in the NFC Championship game last year.
You just changed my mind. I am now a fan of needy people. I am on Aaron's side. Be a little needy.
It's okay to be a little needy when you're performing at the level that Aaron Rodgers does. Finally, Sunday night will be the fourth time Bill Belichick's Patriots have had to face Russell Wilson. Seattle won both regular season games, but the Patriots came out on top in their Super Bowl matchup, and Belichick did not hold back in his praise for Wilson.
This guy's a tremendous player. honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making, running, passing. His passing numbers are extraordinary. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody.
You know, I do wonder at this point what it is with Russell Wilson.
No,
I guess to some degree it is the media because he hasn't gotten MVP votes.
But I think I'll give Pete Carroll credit. I've been critical of Pete. Pete figured it out. This offseason, Pete heard enough. Pete finally, and I'll give Pete credit. He's a 67-year-old guy. Pete finally said, as Greg Cosell told us, okay, let's go. And I'll give, a lot of old coaches don't do that. They get rigid. Pete Carroll flexible. Right. Belichick with Cam flexible. They're like, okay.
No, he was impeccable on Sunday.
It's incredible how good he is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. And hearing that from Belichick is obviously rare. I mean, he always praises the opponent. He does that. That's one of his tactics. But to say that he's the best to do it right now is
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
Eric
News.
Mangini, the former Brown coach, lives in Cleveland. Cleveland on the clock tonight. Baker on the clock. Eric Mangini coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Eric Mangini used to coach the Cleveland Browns. The Browns tonight play Cincinnati, and Eric is now joining us live from Ohio. He's right in the middle of it. All right, Baker, it was the worst loss, 32-point loss. Baltimore is very good. Do you think they respond tonight? Do the Browns?
Yeah, I think they respond. I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with the criticism of Cleveland. The only guy who had a tougher job than Joe Burrow was Kevin Stefanski. He had a rookie offensive coordinator, rookie defensive coordinator. He's a rookie head coach. They had never traveled as a team. They had no preseason. And then they go against the Baltimore Ravens. So I know everybody wants to rush the judgment about how this is the same old Browns. I don't think it's fair. I think it's too harsh. And I think they bounce back tonight. And I think they're a lot better team than people think they are.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I bet a lot of money tonight. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my biggest bets of my life. I took Cleveland big
really?
Tonight. Yes, but I will say this. I've said wrong more than a few times in my life. I think Burrow looked bigger than I thought. I think he's very athletic. I was impressed, Eric. I liked what I saw from Burrow.
Yeah, going into the season, I felt like literally he had the toughest job of anybody in the NFL. He's a rookie number one overall draft pick playing for the Cincinnati Bengals with no offseason, with no chance to get to know the players and the coaching staff. And look, I get it. The Zoom meetings, those are great. But then you miss out on all the preseason games, and he's got to go in and operate at a high level. And I don't think it was as high as maybe some people thought it should be. But the fact that he operated so efficiently, there are very few offensive penalties. And then the draw play that you're showing now, that awareness I thought was great. I was frustrated by some of the missed throws that he had late. And by the shuffle pass that ended up being an interception. But for a kid who had as much pressure as he had on him with as little chance to get ready as he had, it was a great first start.
Let's talk a little about Jimmy Garoppolo. They have a cluster injury at wide receiver. Jalen Hurd's out. Debo's hurt. The rookie's hurt. They're a bit of a mess, but you don't necessarily think it's a receiver issue in San Francisco.
No, this to me is a quarterback issue. When you look at the playoffs and the way that they treated the offensive approach and the absolute dominance of the running game, and when I say dominance, I mean dominance in terms of the numbers that they called versus throwing the ball, that doesn't show a lot of confidence in what's supposed to be your franchise quarterback. And we get to this time period now where guys are injured. I think it's a great opportunity for San Francisco to really see what they have. This is essentially a contract year for Garoppolo because next year they can move on from him with I think it's $2.8 million cap hit. So if they want to make a move after the season, they're in a great position to do so. So now you find out whether or not he can carry the team. And it's situations like this that tell you a lot more than when you're loaded with talent at all the different spots.
That's interesting. Bruce Arians, he makes a comment about Tom. Now Favre's banging on Arians, and Arians is, hey, no, I don't care what anybody says. I didn't love it. I'd rather just yell it behind closed doors. What did you make of Bruce taking a little shot at Tom?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. The guy's the greatest quarterback of all time. Does he think that by criticizing Tom, somehow that's going to give him some special motivation that Tom hasn't drawn on before? And how does it help? It undermines his performance. It undermines his legitimacy. And did you take a step back and talk about all the things that you could have done better as a coaching staff? Did you spend some time saying, hey, these are the plays that we missed. These are the concepts that we should have had in. I didn't hear any of that either. And I get you want to treat everybody equal, but there's no point in this. There's no pop that's going to come from this. And I appreciate the way Belichick does it, where he never criticizes individuals, ever.
Yeah, no, it's just not his thing. All right, you know about being a coach in a hot seat. It's a reality of the NFL. Outside of Belichick and Sean Payton, I mean, even Andy Reid got run. Pete Carroll got run twice. It's a reality of the job. So Adam Gase's boss, the CEO of the Jets, is like, oh, I think he's just absolutely brilliant. I told the staff this morning, I'm like, okay, how many days until he's fired? Five or six? Well, what do you make when the owner comes out and starts telling everybody, when you looked awful, how brilliant the coach is?
Yeah, that's not great. It's not, there's a lot of owners that feel like by them giving you their seal of approval and their unfettering endorsement, that's going to rally the troops around you. And there's going to be a surge because the players know you're there and they know you're there for the long term. But too many times we've seen where you get the endorsement and then soon you get the hook and It's not a secret. People know that seal of approval usually means that the leash is growing shorter, not longer.
Yeah, it's not that they lost. They look disorganized. So Cam Newton, I mean, it wasn't the most dynamic passing offense, but I think you predicted this. It was a lot of defense. It was controlling the clock. The question is, can it beat a team like Seattle or Green Bay or Kansas City? What did you make of Cam's first New England approach, his first game?
Well, I was pretty shocked by it. I've been skeptical of this relationship since the beginning. I didn't know if he'd be willing to subject himself to the Patriot way. I didn't know if he'd be willing to fit in. I didn't know if he'd make the team. And then in talking about how he could best be used, the Tim Tebow approach, the running quarterback approach, was the way that was going to be really effective for him in New England, and that's what they did. He ran the second most that he's ever run in his career.
I know.
This past game.
Yeah.
At 31 years old, coming off an injury, and for New England, it's no big deal. They're renting him anyways. They barely paid him anything. If they get a year out of him, great. But from Cam's perspective and Cam's camp, It's not great. It's not great for long-term health and longevity in general.
Yeah. By the way, who you like tonight in Ohio? So you got Bengals in Ohio. You got Cleveland in Ohio. You live closer to Cleveland. But I like the Browns comfortably tonight. Who do you like?
I would think the Browns comfortably tonight. Now, I'll say that provided they hand the ball off to two of those, those two really good backs, as much as they possibly can, you've got a chance to have a big play every time one of those guys touches the ball. And I get that they want to make OBJ happy and they want to make Baker into the face of the franchise quarterback. Forget about that stuff. Stop worrying about making everybody happy and give the ball to those two guys and you'll win a bunch of games.
Yeah, I love Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb is such a special player. Eric Mangini, former NFL head coach, got several rings with New England. Coach, good seeing you again.
Good seeing you too.
Yeah, Nick Chubb was a second-round pick. Remember when they took him out of Georgia? Sony Michel and Nick Chubb played in Georgia together. They were both really, really good. Chubb is fantastic. He is a fantastic, to me, a top three or four NFL running back. I know everybody's bailing on running backs, but when you get a good one, they make life really, really easy. It really helps your quarterback throwing on second and four and third and two. It changes everything. Nick Chubb's a great football player, has been since high school, college, whatevs. During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Go to LegalZoom.com. Your life will meet legal. We absolutely guarantee it. I am so fired up for tonight. You know what's great? That's why I love the NFL. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, go for a little jog, lift some weights or something, you know? 15-minute nap, go to the grocery store. Just nothing but grilling and get some asparagus. And
asparagus?
I may have a Corona tonight.
What are you grilling?
A lot of stuff. I got some boys over tonight.
Oh, okay. Well.
They told me they were coming over. All right, Greg Jennings, Hour 3 next.